In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
She's complaining about me playing Out of Your Birds, and she's reading a book.
About one of tonight's subjects, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes, Alfred Hitchcock directed Crazy Stupid Love. Ryan Gosling, Steve Carell, Anna Leigh Tipton, Julianne Moore, Emma Stone, Marissa Tomei, Jonah Bobo. Classy name, Joey King, Kevin Bacon.
Because every movie's got to have Kevin Bacon.
Josh Groban is actually directed by Glenn Hitchcock. No, Ficarra.
I'm
sick of this Ficarra movie.
This fucking Bob?
Yeah?
You saw this movie. I didn't see it.
I saw it in the guitar.
That's the day. So, what's the damage?
So, how exciting
$11.50.
Plus popcorn.
What? Plus popcorn? No popcorn.
Well, you were full that night, were you?
Yeah, I was full. Well, I saw this movie at the Varsity with an acquaintance of ours. Why, I'll never know, but I should have seen it by myself.
I know what acquaintance you're referring to.
Yes. Not that acquaintance. Male acquaintance. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Gauche?
No. Although his first name was Dave, and not Taylor. I was down there, and downtown, so I go see this movie.
Did you like this movie?
I love this movie! It was good.
Do you like it as much as Kevin enjoys playing Angry Birds?
I enjoy actually seeing Kevin play Angry Birds. I think Angry Birds is up here, and Crazy Stupid Love would be down there, but I enjoy Crazy Stupid Love. It was funny in parts. I loved it. I thought Ryan Gosling did a great job. Emma Stone did a great job. And the whole thing is good.
I think Doug would love this movie. I think this movie has a vicious twist. If you cannot see it coming, the twist.
Well, I never saw it coming.
There's nothing to tip you off about this twist. You don't see it coming. I thought this movie was kind of...
Somebody's a serial killer?
That's exactly it, Kevin. You caught it. No, I thought the movie was fantastic. I thought they really built up the whole Steve Carell character from being a complete loser into being a metrosexual man and meeting all these women and this and that. But that twist out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting there kind of going, where's this movie going? I get it. They built him up. He's going to get back with Julianne Moore, hopefully. And they're leading to that. I'm kind of like, okay, but there's got to be more to this than just that. Then, boom, this twist connects you with the left. I'm not going to ruin it because you haven't seen this. I really want you to don't know that twist is coming. But it, like, cracks you like a real steel Adam comeback.
Really?
And this movie jumped for me from about a 2.5 that was going to probably hit a 2.5, maybe a 3, to a solid 3.5, must rent, maybe buy. For that twist alone.
Wow.
That's a strong rating.
That twist I loved. And for me to give a movie 3.5, Ken will tell you I must have liked it.
Bizarre.
Well,
I guess we'll have to go see this then.
You'll have to.
Kevin, I liked it for the twist. I'm not saying it's a fantastic movie, but the twist alone bumps up a full point.
I'll say that.
What happens? Somebody's black.
That's it. You got it. No, it's just something you do not see coming. There is no possible way you see this twist coming. Now I told you, you'll probably look for it, but I don't think you'll find it.
But where I saw it, like I saw it in the theater, it was a packed theater. And, like if I think something's funny and I'll start laughing and I can't stop, I'll have, like, or Jason Marley to me. No, it was worse than that. I was going, and I've got people looking at me like, are you nuts? And then, but other, I could hear other people joining in, so they must have thought it was funny too. But I really like this movie, and I'm gonna.
I love this movie.
Like, well, yeah, okay, loved, liked, whatever. It's a great. It was a. Is this 2000? Yes, it is. Okay, so this is gonna be on my top 10.
It might make mine. It has no such shot.
Although they're moving places around. So
I like number 10. Like, I'm not gonna say it's gonna crack the top 5. Because, I mean, The Help's already probably going to make top 5. Oh, X-Men's probably 6. And I haven't found any of that movie.
It'll be in the 10, but it won't be the top 5.
Harry Potter
never makes. They're okay. They're not great. I don't know. My top 10 list is always scary. Because I never know what's going to be. I watched
Cars 2.
Cars 2 might be my bottom worst movies of the year.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Has a chance to be in the top 10. Like, lower 10. I'm hoping, on my top 10 list, I'm hoping Hoover will make it. I really do.
Hoover, really?
I really like Clint Eastwood movies.
It's just another Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm a huge Leonardo DiCaprio fan. I don't think he deserves Oscars, but I do enjoy his acting. And I want to see the Meryl Streep movie really badly.
The Iron Lady?
The Iron Lady, because I like Meryl Streep. I find she really engrosses her characters. Whenever she becomes them, she is that person.
Yes.
But this year I thought was pretty lackluster for movies. I think I might not even have a top 10. I might make top 5.
Oh,
I have a top 10
worst movie. But they always keep a lot of movies in reserve for, like, the holiday pre-Oscar.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Tintin?
Yeah, I'm looking forward, really forward to Tintin. I want to see where that goes. Well, we'll see. I don't know. We've got a lot to go. But, yeah, I like Crazy Stupid Love, so Kevin's actually going to see something because I liked it. I liked The Debt, but that was a big pile of crap.
What is The Debt? There's another movie I haven't seen that someone insisted we had to have it on the list this week.
Yeah, it was Karen, who's not here, directed by John Madden, starring Helen Mirren, Jessica Chastain, Sam Worthington, Tom Wilkinson, and nobody else I care about. Bob, take it away.
Okay, another movie I saw in the theater, but this wasn't, I don't know, because I saw it during the day, so there wasn't that many people there. But
so you could have got popcorn during this one.
I may have gotten popcorn and a drink. Oh, it was a hot dog.
Did you get this flavor shaker?
Actually, no.
What? No flavor shaker.
They didn't have them. They only had the extra butter, so they went.
Where'd you go? They didn't have flavor shaker. AMC. They had flavor shaker at AMC.
Kennedy and F401.
I don't know that one. I must have said there was Munich.
Didn't see it.
Anyway. I saw Against the Ropes. No, I saw a Meg Ryan movie.
In the Cut?
That's the one. I was on my third date with my wife.
Wow.
So that was our third date. God. I can't even tell you where I had dinner afterwards. Nobody cares.
I care.
No. The restaurant, was it a Casey's right beside it or Kelsey's?
Casey's? AMC? The theater? Is
yeah, right there.
That would be Casey's.
Oh, I had dinner there.
Okay. Going.
Scary that I remember this.
And it's also interesting that we're talking about movies you saw, like, when you were in the very early stage, you're dating your wife rather than talking about the movie band.
Yeah, sorry. The Debt. Go ahead, Bob.
Most bad agents. Or criminals in hiding.
No, this movie's kind of. I asked Bob to go, he's dragging his heels. This movie's kind of weird. It starts off at the beginning, so is Helen Mirren today. And then it transgresses and she hears something happen.
Yeah.
And then it goes.
Actually, her daughter's reading the book that
she
wrote.
This is the one with the people and somebody's killed and they're.
That's
four
it.
People
well, you it. Think somebody's killed. You're led to believe that that's why she's being honored for all the work she's done. But really, this is the story of how it got to that point. So it goes present, past, present. Correct, Bob?
Yep.
And it is boring as hell.
You thought it was boring?
I read the reviews saying, oh, you have to see this great movie. Oh, I had a big nap during this. I put my head in my popcorn and slept.
Well, I didn't. People at work recommended this movie to me, so I said I want to go see this. And then I did hear other stuff about it. And I think this is the one. No, is this the one that Jessica Chastain was here for? Or no, that was the other one.
She was here for this.
So I want, based on that. Well, based on that and the fact that I heard so much about it, I wanted to see it. So I went to see it. I wasn't disappointed. Like, unlike you, I didn't think it was boring. Like, I kept my attention right on the thing. I followed, like, what they were doing then and then it jumps back to now, and I'm not usually good with jumping movies, but...
Jessica Chastain is Helen Mirren.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, how could you not know it's the jump when it jumps?
Because it also shows the disfigurement on her cheeks. That's what happened in the past.
Right.
So you can see it. You can see that that's her. And then they have Tom Wilkinson as whichever character it was. I forget. But,
Is this the point of her wife, her husband?
Is he the Sam Worthington character in the past?
Yes.
Yes. He's supposed to, yeah, that's it. And Kieran Hines is somebody, Martin.
But what did you think of this? Like, what drawings are, didn't you find the past boring?
No, actually I didn't.
But they sit and talk forever.
Yeah, but they didn't. That's part of what it was. They had to pass the time because they couldn't get out of the country because they were prevented from getting out of the country because they were caught. They weren't caught, but they were about to get caught, and they had to they've been compromised. So they weren't allowed to get out of the country because they were left. Like they just got abandoned by the CIA.
Any of your Mission Impossible force be apprehended, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of
that's it.
Yeah.
And they disavowed their knowledge. They left them out. They hung them out to dry. So they had to figure out their own way of getting home.
They had to get passports.
They had to get passports, and they had to. What was it? They had to get this guy that was a war criminal.
Right.
The twist.
The twist is everybody thinks she did kill him.
Right.
And she really did. So the end of the movie is Helen Mirren today doing what she should have done back then.
Yeah.
And that's really her hunting the Nazis the last 20 minutes of the film.
He's still alive.
He's still alive. That's a big thing.
In the hospital.
Who in the hospital? And he knows she's coming.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave it at that. I just thought it was boring. I just didn't see the point to this. I was really dull. I didn't think Jessica Chastain blew me away. Everybody's talking Jessica Chastain.
Well, because she was in The Help.
She was okay in The Help. She's
got nine movies coming up this year.
She's got nine movies. She's
in The Tree of Life.
Which stunk. Like, we haven't discussed it. I'll tell you right now, what a big pile of crap. That was 2 hours and 3 minutes. I'm never getting back. A metaphysical myth. Like, I sit there...
I'm going to teach you a lesson for putting us through some of the 2 hours movies that you are
just there. That was painful, Tree of Life. I don't get it.
We'll be watching
it. But it has dinosaurs in it, right?
Well, that's it. Kevin will be sitting here playing Angry Birds. 2 seconds later, we're watching The Birth of Earth. What the fuck does that have to do with the movie?
Well, Angry Birds were there at the dawn of time. Dinosaurs.
That's it.
Dinosaurs or birds? They were angry.
And then
birds.
It goes from there, and you see the whole world creating, and then goes to heaven. It was just bizarre.
Did you know that dinosaur is Latin for angry birds?
Well, I think it is, actually. After watching that, I think that that's just a big waste of time. Go write Crazy Stupid Love.
And now we come
I still enjoyed it, so.
The people have spoken.
The people have spoken.
You are
not the people.
I said good day, sir.
Right. I say good day to you.
Next movie, the people speak.
Yes.
And they're angry.
Are they speaking to George Lucas?
They're angry with George Lucas.
I would be too.
People are against George Lucas. What is wrong with this man? This is what this movie is about. Did you watch it? Yeah.
Yep.
Did I watch it?
Documentary where people just basically discuss what the hell happened to George Lucas after Star Wars. You can see it a little bit in the first trilogy. But the second trilogy, man, wow. Lisa no like.
Probably the best line in the movie is when Simon Pegg compares, somebody says, well, Simon Pegg is complaining about Jar Jar Binks, and somebody says, well, what about the Ewoks? And he's like, compared to fucking Jar Jar Binks, the Ewoks are fucking shafts.
That's right.
That pretty much sums up the tone of the movie.
Yep.
And, you know, it's interesting because it's a bit of a biography of George Lucas. I did not realize he's been in a nearly fatal car accident as a teenager. And I did not realize that he had taken the studio interference on THX-1138 so seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you want to make movies, you're going to have studios dicking around with your projects. It's just...
Not if you're George Lucas.
In 1973, they dicked around with his projects, though.
But then he got to make a director's cut later on where he could sign a special effects in.
Jar Jar Binks.
No, no, for THX.
I've never seen it.
When it was released on DVD a few years ago, it was in the...
What? Hold on a second here. You've never seen what?
THX.
Never seen THX.
Have you seen it? I saw parts of it.
I've seen it.
That's a no.
it's
not up to me to see it. It's up to him.
It's an experimental science fiction movie.
Oh, I can see it. We talked, Kevin, it doesn't matter. What's going on about the people versus George Lucas? Man, they're pissed.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I was watching this movie, and I actually kind of felt sorry for George Lucas, because I think when it comes down to it, fans really feel entitled. And this is something that I encounter a lot with things that I do with the fan community, is that fans, at what point does something created by the author leave their hands to become the public's?
Never in my world. That's never.
Right. Well, that's George Lucas's opinion. He controls Star Wars. It's his.
It's his movie.
I agree with him 100%. But I don't think he should be screwing around with him. I think there should be. I do agree with the fans. There should be one original movie cut and just leave that. If you don't want to buy the other ones, don't buy them.
That was brought up in the documentary that he wanted to make it. He wanted to clear it up because it was starting to degrade, and he wanted to save it.
And that's a load of crap.
He probably been itching to change it since, like, the day after it was released.
Probably.
Actually, he has said that, too, so. Mm-hmm.
But what's weird is that, like, they also had, you know, footage of him testifying before Congress in the 80s against people colorizing black and white movies and, you know, and saying very passionately that we shouldn't tinker with movies because it poses a risk to our cultural heritage.
Well, that's what I think. Yeah, I think George has become a hypocrite, but he's got so much money, he doesn't care.
Right.
But does it bother him that people, for example, hate Jar Jar Binks, that pet character he forced on us all?
I'm sure after you guys' first royalty check from Jar Jar Binks action figures, he couldn't care less.
Right. There's a whole generation that's grown up that love those movies, and I don't think they have as much of an issue with Jar Jar Binks as we do.
No, because we're, I don't know, older. I mean, I still enjoy Star Wars. I love Empire, but I don't love Return of the Jedi. I never will.
Well, when we rewatched the first trilogy recently.
Yeah.
And I must say, they're kids' movies. They really are kids' movies. And the first one especially is a child's movie.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, and Jar Jar Binks is part of that. He's comedy relief. I mean, I look at him and I see bad racial stereotypes, but...
He's an orange creature. How do you see bad racial stereotypes?
Because he talks like
a minstrel.
So what? So, do I see bad racial stereotypes in Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Well, Monty Python is actually funny.
Right.
I agree, but there's racial stereotypes in Monty Python.
Yeah, but is it deliberate? This is not intentional, but it's, and the Trade Federation guys are like bad Yellow Peril characters. And,
oh, we got to stop the Jedi.
I'm surprised that one of them didn't try and say slide lice. Like, it was
slide lice tonight.
Like, it was so bad.
So what did you say, bye?
To this movie?
I said it's all... You could buy it. If you're big Star Wars fan, I think it's buy.
I think it's an interesting dialogue on...
I know you bought it.
...on what it means to be a fan. Because, as a lot of people mentioned in the film, Star Wars seems to inspire people who want to create Star Wars relationships like nothing else. People, like, I mean, it's like when somebody said in the movie, I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, but I don't want to be, I've never thought about becoming a candy maker.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
But it's true, though. I mean, because, like, there's a real fan culture built up around Star Wars that there I don't see with any other major property. What about you, Kev? What do you think? I mean,
well... When I grew up, I wanted to be a stormtrooper.
Well, now you're Rubber Batman, so is he going to be upset?
I wanted to be Gene Kelly.
What is it about Star Wars movies that make people believe them? I mean, they want to be Jedi, and they dress up. And
there's a lot of reference back to the summer of 1977. Now, I was 3 at the time, so I don't remember. But
15.
And you were what, 7-ish?
7 and a half.
So what was that summer of 77 like with regards to Star Wars?
No, Batman didn't come until 78. Whenever the next one, Empire, came out, it went nuts.
It went nuts with Empire. I remember that because there were lineups.
I don't remember Star Wars. I was too young. I was six.
I remember. I was 7 and a half.
15.
And my aunt and uncle lived in Kitchener. And we were like, well, let's go see this movie Star Wars that everybody's talking about. They said, so I came along. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I never was a... It's funny, I was never a huge movie buff, other than maybe Batman, the movie, before that. And then I saw Star Wars, and loved movies after that point. I you know, before that it was Bad News Bears, which is a movie I loathed as a child.
It's a great movie.
I loathed Bad News Bears.
Really?
Yeah.
Walter Matthau was God.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
To me.
And Bob, you were like...
Okay, I was... Okay, yeah,
and
I was 15.
To see Star Wars,
so, actually, no. You know what? I was 15. I didn't hear about any of the hype attracted to it at the time. 15, I didn't hear about anything until Empire Strikes Back came out.
You're
and
right.
When I saw... And when I went to see it, there were a lot... I went to see it at the University Theater, which
lucky,
no longer exists.
I went to see it there, too. But
so
that's because we all went and saw Star Wars like 20 to 30 times.
I never saw it. I knew someone that actually did go see it. He saw it 30 times in the theater, and at the time I had never understood this until I met another guy who saw these movies like 50 times on the same movie.
Yeah, I
should
go all the time.
But, a friend of mine, he went to see it in Star Wars, and I said, why are you going to see that? I couldn't understand it. Empire Strikes Back comes out, everybody was going to see it. So I went, and I thought, okay, I've got to go back and see Star Wars.
When Kevin was saying movies, for me it was Indiana Jones did it for me. I remember seeing
Indiana Jones
when I was 13, and that really started me of not missing movies.
But Star Wars came out in 77, and between 77 and 80, my friends and I, we loved Star Wars.
Did you like make up stories?
I remember.
Did you pretend to be stormtroopers?
We used to go and get, like, I remember going to the Minute Mart near my house. You remember Minute Mart?
Oh, I do. They're still out.
They became Metros eventually, but, and they got the first two Star Wars action figures in, which were Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I had one of them.
With the, you know, the things in their arm and the slid in and out. I remember buying them and thinking, this is awesome. And then I went back, and as they came out, I bought each action figure. And that was the summer of 77.
Little vinyl cakes?
I got them at Shoppers Drug Mart for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all my... Presley's. So there we go.
His father was a manager at Sears, and he used to get all the figures and all the stuff. So he had a basement full of these figures, so he used to go over there and play all the time with them, you know. Yeah, and this is what, of course, when I had my doctor's bag full of comics that I would put on my bike and ride up and down the street.
Well, what's funny, though, too, is that...
It's like E.T.
But what's amazing, though, is just when we're just watching this movie, they have all this archival footage from the 70s, and just the extent to which everybody was wearing, you know, T-shirts. Everybody was wearing, like, but it was everybody. Like, it was just such a society-wide phenomenon. And, like, when Neil Gaiman came out and was, like, saying, yeah, my mom told me I should go see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that tells you how broadly it hit.
But it really hit a generation. Our generation.
Art.
Yeah.
Kev, it's time to open the vault.
No, we have one more new movie.
We are going to do it here? That's right.
Yes. And that's the third Chronicles of Narnia film, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Starring the people from the first two.
Yeah, yeah. The Prince Caspian is back. And
Simon
Pegg. The two younger of the four kids are in again.
And
yes.
The really annoying cousin Eustace.
He's new.
Oh, he's annoying.
Yes, he is very
and
annoying.
And Simon Pegg is the voice of the Talking Mouse.
Instead of Rupert Everett.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had to go.
So I really did not like Prince Caspian. I thought it was awful. I liked the first Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe one.
I thought they were both bad.
But I didn't like Prince Caspian. Prince Caspian? Prince Caspian.
What did you think of this one?
This one I thought was okay.
I like this one.
Wow, we have a totally different opinion. I thought it was a boring piece of crap.
I like the bit where he turns into a dragon, and they have to go to the island, and they have to figure out how to beat the witch or something. Whatever
sorcerer?
It was, with the swords, yeah.
I saw this when it came out, and I bored the crap out of it. I just found these characters very dull, but I found the book very dull, so it didn't really excite me.
The book was the first of the Narnia books I got into as a little kid, so I had very fond memories of the book, so I was predisposed to like this movie. I was. And I mean, and like there are some moments, like for example, the way they go to Narnia, like the painting opens up.
Oh, that was
cool. Oh, I love that. That was cool.
Yeah, that's straight from the book. Star's Daughter, you know, when they go to the island and the
Oh, I think the effects were beautiful. I think the movie's a beautiful looking film. I think everything is great. I just thought the story, those characters.
And the men, those were well done.
It's the two little kids are boring.
Well, of course, because they were, and that's what C.S. Lewis picked up on, is that, you know, you got to move these characters on as they learn their life lessons so that the newer, younger, more annoying characters can be brought on to learn.
Exactly.
There were some interesting parts where the younger girl wants to be Susan, her older sister.
Susan is pretty, and she feels she's not pretty. And
I'm getting a little tired of Aslan.
Oh, Aslan is very
the
Aslan.
Jesus lion.
I'm done with
you
the
You can't come with me over the water.
I am Jesus. I'm done.
You'll know me by another name in your world.
It's scary.
I'm Liam Neeson.
Yes. I'm with you 100%. I just found this movie
Liam
boring.
Liam Neeson, I liked you better when you were fighting.
I can't remember. I saw
it was a bit long, but I liked it enough. It was
dull.
But that's just it. It's a short book. Like,
is there a fourth one of this coming?
Oh, there's like six books. Or maybe
but are they doing, though?
Yeah,
well, the end of the last book, which is fittingly called The Last Battle.
Which I've never read.
It ends with all the characters dying and going to heaven.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
And going with Aslan.
Going with Aslan.
So now I never have to read it.
Yes, but you know, it's interesting because, again, just having talked about George Lucas, I think C.S. Lewis wanted to get, you know, put an end to this series of books, and I think the only way he could do it was just by killing everybody off and sending them off to heaven.
Awesome.
Yeah, not.
All right.
Open the vault!
Well, you know, there's going to be scandal. Well, someone's going to the vault, and it's not going to be me.
Yes, it is.
Zuzu Pedals.
Zuzu. Bert, do you know? Where's Bert? I see him in there.
Don't you know me?
Don't you know me, Bert? No.
Too much.
Mary, don't you know me? No.
Why do you have to talk about one of the most depressing movies of all times?
Love the movie.
Well, let's
say... NTM! I'm scared, NTM!
I'll give you NTM!
You need to get out more, Jeff.
Fresh air for the intern, please.
Interns!
Hey, wow, Hitch has got, like, no credits.
It just appeared!
Does it matter? It stars Will Smith, Eva Mendes, Amber Valletta, and...
Kevin James.
Yeah, okay.
I forgot.
How to Date a Model in 9 Easy Lessons. So, who wants to talk about this thing?
Well, since I bought it, and I own it, I will.
Share your pain.
Okay. Share my pain. I bought the movie because I liked it. I've watched it about 4 times since I've seen it the first time. Total 5. But, Kevin James is a character. He's like a schlep who's like having trouble. And Will Smith's Shut up. Will Smith is a dating doctor. He's trying to help him get what he wants because he's in love with Amber Valletta. I'm ruining it, but I don't care because that's what it is, and you'll know it because you've probably seen it. He helps guys who have trouble getting dates because, like, as he says in the movie, maybe guys don't want to have a plan. They want to have a plan. Then they can't say, I like you. I really like you. So... Anyway, great move, great acting, I thought, by Will Smith and Eva Mendes and Kevin James. But anybody else, go ahead.
Kevin.
I remember seeing this and I didn't hate it.
I'm glad you didn't hate it. Did you like it at least?
That's a sterling recommendation.
No, I thought it was okay. I mean, there's some funny parts. Will Smith keeps screwing up.
Yes.
If I remember.
He screws up because he's in love with Eva Mendes' character.
What's the thing he does with the water scooter?
He kicks her off.
He kicks her off. Right, kicks her in the head.
And doesn't he have an allergic reaction to shellfish?
Yes, to shellfish. He's got this allergic reaction.
That's not funny.
No, it's not.
Yeah. But on the opposite hand, Kevin James is doing everything he's not supposed to be doing.
Yes. Right.
And he gets the girl, and Will Smith gets the girl, and he gets found out by Eva Mendes because she's a reporter and writes this whole expose on him.
Yeah.
And then they get back together and then becomes a doctor for women.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole movie, it's a good date movie. It's fun. It's watchable.
Uh-oh, from the other side.
Oh, yeah.
No, my only comment is that it'd be interesting to see a version of this movie where it's an average woman who gets like the supernaturally hot guy. Because it's one of the standards of these movies is that you have a guy wanting not just to date a pretty girl, but to date like the model, the movie star, and it never flips the other
way. That's
a problem.
Is that a problem?
Oh no, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's just that we never see a flip side of the story, and I'm just commenting on it.
Actually, there's sort of a flip side because Eva Mendes's friend Casey, she wants to get the guy too, so she's looking for the same thing that Kevin James's character is looking for. She gets screwed, figuratively, by.
Just a plastic bottle.
By another character, and like Will Smith wouldn't help him, and Will Smith gets blamed for this, because the guy and he says, "Oh, this is how this all started," and he says, "I would not help him because he's a pig." Mm. So her friend, Eva Mendez's friend, is in the same situation that Kevin James is.
But it would be interesting to see a movie about a Casey type of character.
Yeah, did you see this movie?
No.
I didn't think so.
Oh, yeah. Let's move along, then.
Yes, let's move.
All right. You should see it, though.
I would say buy, though, because I already did.
I would not buy this.
I'd rent. Good date movie.
I think I had it at one point.
Sure you did.
All right. Miss Congeniality has Sandra Bullock, Ernie Hudson, and William Shatner.
Shut the front door. Sorry, I just have to say that.
And
I saw this movie in the theater, and it was just sort of there. Although William Shatner is great.
Shatner's good in this.
Loved
it. Beauty and
what's her name? What's her name is that too?
Candice Bergen?
Candice Bergen, yeah. I forgot her character. I thought she was really good.
She was the pageant runner.
Right. And Sandra Bullock's character is FBI, and she goes from this, like,
I know Benjamin Bratt's on this cast list.
Because I didn't have time.
And
that's
he's
why.
Pretty boring. I mean, the role is really not important.
He's the pretty boy.
Yeah.
You just wanted the average woman to get the pretty boy.
Sandra Bullock average. Because, yeah. Of course, all it takes is the one magic makeover scene, and she's suddenly.
Wasn't he Mr. Julia Roberts at that time when this movie was made?
Yes.
Very possibly.
But I love the part where, like, she's got all dolled up, and yet she's still herself because. She's walking out, and she says, "Don't say a word." And then she goes back into the FBI agent. She just goes slip ball, and that's back to her original character. I found it funny.
It wasn't funny. It was okay.
It was funny to me the first time.
It was funny the first time
because I owned the movie.
And they do it three times later in the movie. It happens three times in the movie. Here we go again.
I know. I laughed each and every time.
I love Sandra Bullock, but I didn't love this movie.
I cried. I didn't love.
Although Michael Caine as her pageant coach was great.
Yes, he was. Got him too.
And the second movie's just more of the same.
Miss Congeniality 2, is there anything worthwhile about this one? Is it just more William Shatner goodness?
Actually, well, he can't act out of a paper bag, but it's still. I didn't find it as good.
He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants, but I still own that. I own this movie because it was a 2-pack.
Tupac was.
Yeah, I'm backing this up. Miss Congeniality 1 is about a 2.5-star movie.
Yeah.
Okay, it's watchable. It's like watching Hitch. It's watchable and you move on with your day. Miss Congeniality 2 is a flaming pile of crap.
Preach.
Horrible.
Yes.
Like the first one was a great setup. They remade her over. She became a star. Everybody loved her. Yada, yada, yada. Well, 2 is. She can't be an FBI agent anymore because everybody knows who she is. So she decides to go on the talk show circuit and show everybody self-defense for women.
Right.
And then they have another plot that William Shatner gets kidnapped with Miss Universe.
Yeah.
And she has to stop them. And she goes to Vegas and screws everything up.
Yeah.
But, of course, in the end, it's all sad. There's nothing funny. Regina King is awful. She is awful. This chat is awful. Ernie Hudson is awful. The script is awful.
So let's just burn
it. Give it a zero. Unrateable. One of the worst movies I would have seen that year.
Kill it with fire.
Fire.
Anything else?
No. I still own it. I'm not giving it to...
Well, you paid a dollar for the garage sale. I think you over.
Next movie is Rooney, directed by David Anshbrock.
Oh, this is
really Susan?
Stars Sean Astin, Ned Beatty, John Favreau, Charles S. Dutton, Lily Taylor, and Greta Lynn.
Is Ben Affleck in this movie? Ben Affleck in this movie?
Like,
yeah. It's one of the football
players? If he is, it's an uncredited name.
I didn't see him.
Oh, Rudy is one of the great movies. I love this movie so much.
Oh, I'm surprised I liked it. I've never seen it before in my life, and you guys made me watch it. I'm going, this is good. And then I watched the after things with the real Rudy, and I know you'd never, maybe you did.
And
You actually watched the extras? I'm shocked.
And then at the end is when they say he's the last player to ever be carried off the field at Notre Dame. Like, that's amazing.
It hits you right here. Like, I actually like the movie.
Don't have the energy to sit upright
anymore? I have some bad news for you, Bob.
What? I'm, like, burning up.
I teared up during this movie.
You teared up.
I can't, Bob.
Listeners, he teared up.
I gotta tell you.
He's totally allowed to. This movie hit
me so hard near the end, I was tearing
this
up.
This is the male equivalent of, like.
Beaches.
Yeah.
Just a complete.
Kevin, I was tearing at the end. I felt so much for this character.
Oh, yeah. You gotta let him in, Coach. Gotta let him in.
And that scene never really happened. That was all made up for the film. Mm-hmm. I read the whole thing on it. I'm like, really? I just teared up and they made me tear up for nothing?
Hollywood laughs at your pain.
I was so pissed when I read that.
I feel your pain.
Rudy played for a couple minutes.
No, but the whole thing with them turning in their uniforms.
Not everybody. It happened with one guy. That's what they said.
One guy. That the coach had already decided to put him in anyway.
Yeah.
But I can't believe the heart this kid had to get in this.
And then he does.
Oh, it's just like to do something he wanted to do that badly, and to sacrifice everything.
And just to go there, I want to get into Notre Dame. He doesn't have the grades, doesn't have anything.
But he works hard.
Get him to work the good.
John Favreau character helps him out a lot to get those grades, and he helped John Favreau a lot.
John Favreau was big time.
Yeah, he was a little big. But he helped about a lot. I think this movie is just such a feel-good.
This movie is just so wonderful. Like, it's almost like it feels like blasphemy to say anything against it.
Well, other than where's Mark Wahlberg? Shouldn't Mark Wahlberg in this movie?
He was still Marky Mark.
That's why he's going to show up.
Yeah, he was still doing underwear ads for Calvin Klein.
This looks like a total... If this was Rudy was a little bit older, Marky Mark would have done this movie.
But you know what, though? I think the fact that it was Sean Astin playing it, like, and that's just it. Like, you had to believe that Rudy was... The hard luck kid who had scrap for everything.
He did, though. I can't believe he gave up his girlfriend. Like, she kind of sort of ditched him when he didn't want to follow her dream of buying that house.
But you know what, though? Like, this is really, I think, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, this is a really poetic movie. It's just so beautiful.
I'm with you. I have no complaints.
Oh, yeah, this is a buy.
I absolutely buy. I teared up. That doesn't happen.
I own it. You watched my copy.
I did.
Yeah.
Between red and black.
Blasphemers.
Hold on. More on the verge of buying.
The guy that owns Hitch and this community too.
Yeah, they're probably more of a priority.
You have no soul. You don't love
me. Oh, Carrot. Oh, wait. You're not here.
All right. Next movie on our list is Rushmore. Directed by, is it Paul Thomas Anderson or whatever?
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, one of the mumble corn.
Jason Schwartzman and
Bill Murray.
Olivia Williams.
Yes. As the object of their mutual affection.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, I'll come out front and admit it. I didn't get this movie.
Brian Cox, Seymour Cassell.
I heard everybody saying this movie is the most brilliant thing ever. And I was just like, okay, hit me with the brilliance. Anytime you're ready.
Oh, it's there in every show.
Oh, come on. It's there for a good two-thirds of this movie. And you know what? Watching it the second time, I got it. First time, I did not get this movie. The second time, I got the brilliance of this movie. I didn't love it yet, but I get it.
I love it.
I'll have to watch it again.
I think it's a great movie. Go ahead, Bob.
You. Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, so you weren't overwhelmed.
I wasn't overwhelmed, no.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying, you know. But just that, like,
that's
I heard...
At all.
so much about it. It was built up so much, and I was just like, and, you know.
I never heard of it at all until now.
I'm going to watch it again.
I guess I'll have to.
But.
Did you see the Royal Tenenbaums, or whatever it is?
That was a
fantastic.
Love that.
I never saw it.
And,
Dalmatian Mice.
The, what's the something of Steve's Zoo?
Life with Steve.
Life Aquatic.
Life, I never liked, I thought it was really dull.
Never saw
yeah.
it.
But there were some good jokes about this. I love this. For the first hour of this, I love it.
As a guy that went to an all-guys private school, I liked it a lot.
What did it speak to you?
Everything.
Maybe that's
the
why.
Jason Schwartzman character loved that school. That school was his life.
And his identity.
Yes, and he, you know, everything went into it, but he just wasn't good. He tried too hard. He was in every club. He was in everything.
I will admit that his school play was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love his plays. I think his plays are great.
And then he falls in love with the Chinese girl.
That's at the very end. But
yeah.
He has a whole issue with the movie. Well, I like
yeah.
the scene when him and Bill Murray hate each other.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that tree fall on you.
Yeah.
Really? What happened? I didn't feel like it. And then Bill Murray leaves, and the tree falls. I'm like, what the hell?
Music was good. West picks good music up.
I thought the music was fantastic. I think the music worked. It gets a little slow in the middle.
Yeah.
The middle's really the big issue. I can see where Deb loses it. She likes the first 40 minutes, I'd say. You love it.
Well, then he's thrown out of his element. He doesn't know what to
and
do.
And that's the problem with the movie is you kind of really don't know what.
And he has that father, his immigrant father, who he's... Not quite as... I don't know if he's ashamed of him, but he loves him. But he's not quite...
He's definitely
complicated.
Him.
It's a complex relationship.
But he becomes accepting in the end. He starts to accepting things in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird... I wouldn't want to say bye, but I say different rents.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I don't think you're missing anything, but I do agree. Do you get it or you don't? And the first time I watched it, I agree with you, Deb, I didn't get it.
And I feel terrible, I felt like, oh my god, I'm going to have to turn on my movie nerd card, because I like to pride myself that I have a wide sense of humor, and I can get all kinds of humor, and this one time, I was just like...
Oh, this is, it's Wes Anderson humor, I think Darjeeling
Express.
Has a definite different sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, I think some Wes Anderson movies you get, and some you're not going to get.
Well, and I know that humor is like a dog whistle, like you hear it or you don't hear it, and... That's okay. It's just, I really wanted to get the movie, and I felt kind of disappointed.
Second time, I think you'll get it, because you know what happens.
Okay.
And I do have the same problem you do in the middle, but I did get it this time. I started to finally get this
because
movie.
Because my favorite Wes Anderson movie was Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah,
that movie is just damn near perfect.
It's perfect, my word.
Okay, so how are we doing time-wise?
We're fine. Keep going.
All right, so next movie on our list is Alfred Hitchcock's Saboteur, which I don't really remember.
This is one of the wrong man movies where
that's right.
An innocent man is accused of a crime he didn't commit, and hijinks in colorful locales and a dramatic climax featuring a national monument.
Oh, okay.
It's a forerunner of North by Northwest in a lot of ways.
That was hit the nail right in the head. That's... Yeah, the man meets a blind man halfway through the movie. He's running away from the cops. And then he hooks up with the guy's niece. And it's basically a Hitchcock movie. It reminds me a lot of 39 Steps when he ropes the woman in.
Yes.
And Hitchcock does that a lot in his movies, always bringing the woman in. The guy's always wrong somehow. North by West does it. 39 Steps does it.
And, but again, it's interesting how the same theme pops up again and again and again. I mean, because Saboteur is what, 1941, 1942, and 39
38.
Steps. No, wait, Saboteur.
It's 38.
Saboteur was made in the early days of World War II, I know that.
38.
Who's in Saboteur, by the way? Is this the one with Cotton? No.
No,
that's.
Strangers on the Train.
No,
don't
Cotton.
You have
is,
an
the,
app?
No, the one with
Maybe
Cotton is.
Too busy playing Angry Birds.
Yes, well, it's got the same girl.
Shadow of Doubt.
It's the same girl in 39 Steps.
Madeline Carroll?
I'm pretty sure that's her.
English character.
But the blonde in the movie is in something else we've seen. But I don't know. It's a great movie. I like it how... Okay, Kevin. So he escapes, right?
Yes.
And he gets to this town, which I love the scene, the town. And they find this town where all the bad guys are living, but he doesn't know this. But he's just looking for some guy.
Right.
That was it. He went to visit the rich guy, and the rich guy pretty much blows him off, but he overhears something he shouldn't. So he goes to the town looking for this guy, because the guy that blows up the factory.
Yes, the actual saboteur.
That's it. The actual saboteur gets blamed and escapes to this town. Well, he goes hunting for the actual saboteur, finds out, overhears something he shouldn't, goes to the town. But when he gets to the town, he finds the whole town's a front.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a front for a
criminal organization.
Well, a criminal espionage agency.
Right. Reminds me a lot of 39 Steps, actually.
And also of North by Northwest, because you get the sensation in North by Northwest, although you're not told that the James Mason character, Van Damme, is part of a much larger spy organization.
Yes.
Like, and there's way more than just him.
Well, when you get the saboteur, they go to a party, and it's like going to Hellfire Club in comics.
Mm.
Where
yeah.
all the bad guys are, and they know he's there, but they're pretending he's not there. They're
so what you're saying is that our hero is basically a Wolverine analog.
Well, yeah, you can see it. He definitely, and
well,
the movie
Wolverine
goes from that.
This character.
But you do see it in this.
Like an honest man alone.
And obviously, as in a Hitchcock movie, the bad guys lose and the good guys win. But it's an excellent film. I definitely give it four.
Did you see
probably four. Bob
and, of course, there's the climactic scene on the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
It's amazing. Like, that is a seamless stunt. I'll never look at the shoulders of a jacket the same way again.
Oh, yeah, the guy's holding on the jacket, lets
yes.
it go. Kevin. It's same with North West. Okay, North by West.
Was Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore, he lives. Cary Grant gets pulled up. Well, in this
yeah.
one, the guy dies. At the end of the movie, you see the guy spiraling to his death. Same as Vertigo.
Yeah.
It's almost the same shot as Vertigo. He uses the same shots, but changes them.
Yeah.
And
I don't know, you're reading the Hitchcock biography. Is he fascinated with falls to death?
They haven't gotten into that to the point where I've gotten to it. They haven't gotten into it yet, but I think he's fascinated with the idea of very simple, universal fears, like the fear of being wrongfully accused.
He's definitely into that. But the death scenes are always in these movies. We see numerous death scenes from Heights.
Yes, or that involve falls, like Shadow of a Doubt.
Right.
Or what else? I mean, there's all kinds of. And then there are movies like Rear Window where it's, you know, which are interesting because there's a lack of movement.
Right.
James Stewart needs the Grace Kelly character to go out and do his snooping.
How does Rear Window die at the end of that? Does it go out the window?
Yes.
Again, a fall.
But it's not a fall like off the top of.
But again, it's still a fall.
And, but it's interesting because, but he keeps returning to the same thing. Again.
I know, we see that constantly. Do I just want to go into 39 Steps and just keep going? Bob, what did you think of 39 Steps?
Loved it. I got surprised. I thought it'd be... when I first started watching, I thought it'd be slow, but I started to pick up, and I really enjoyed it. I hadn't talked to my dad about this one because, like, he's seen it years ago. There was a kid, the main character...
When it first came out?
In 1935, I somehow doubt it.
Actually, maybe, because he would have been... He was born in 1918, so 17, he would have been 17.
He might have seen it.
There's a scene... I asked my dad about this, and there was one scene in there that he said, and I have to watch it with him to make sure, to find out, because I watched this by myself, but he's told me that one scene... The main character, which is played by Robert Donat, he looks like his father. He looks like my dad's father. And I have to see it. I have to see it again with him just to find out.
Oh, it's interesting that 4 years after this, Robert Donat went on to win the Best Actor Academy Award for 1939. And he beat out all kinds of people. Like, he beat out Clark Gable for Gone with the Wind. Mm. I mean, and for a movie called Goodbye, Mr. Chips. And here he is playing an adventure role. Also a Canadian.
Yes, he's a Canadian.
Yes, he is. And then, of course, in this movie, we also have the notion that villainy can hide in a very innocuous way. The missing joint on the finger.
Yes.
That's a great tip-off.
Well, I like this movie because you have no idea what this movie is. This movie starts off, they go to
a musical,
and they meet Mr.
Memory.
And you can ask him anything, and he'll tell you, which was fascinating to me. Just
somebody with a knife with a photographic memory.
Yeah, and they do that, and then he leaves there, and this woman out of nowhere, you're like, what the hell, does Clank hang out with you? He's like, yeah, you're kind of hot, okay. And then she tells him, oh, I'm a secret agent. He's like, what? And they just kind of, you don't open the windows, these two guys are following me, this and that. And then I guess he kind of
then she winds up dead.
He gets up in the morning, she's just been stabbed. You don't even see her die. She just sort of comes over and tells him, you gotta go. There's a knife sticking out of her back. Mm-hmm. And then again, then he goes off to go to Scotland to go help her out to this place she was supposed to go to look for the guy, and then you read the paper again, a falsely accused story. Mm-hmm. But I love the two guys in the train. You know how they dwell on the two businessmen in the train? Great setup there, because they kind of leave the main character alone for 10, 15 minutes.
Well, that's just it. It's like the scene in North by Northwest where Cary Grant's dropped off by the bus in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And, like, nothing happens. There's no music. There's no dialogue. He's just standing up. And so every time, like, a vehicle stops, you get all excited.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens.
Well, this one is so... I like when he gets excited and gets the paper. Can I borrow your paper? And takes the guy's paper so he can't see that it's him. And then I like the train scene when he's hiding out on the train. Remind me of a lot of Lady Vanishes.
Actually, when he was reading the paper, he looks over the edge of the paper at this guy, and you see the guy, he's smiling at him with his eyes, then he lowers the paper, then he starts smiling at him as if he knows something, but I don't think he knew. But
it's how much, like, we read into it.
Yeah. Like, I read into it, I thought, okay, you know something, but I don't know what you know.
I thought the weirdest scene was the scene in Scotland when he goes to the first house and gets a room for rent.
Yeah.
That was just a bizarre scene setup. It really had no purpose to do that.
But I thought the genius of this movie was taking, so many movies, the heroine and the hero meet cute and they can't stand each other. But he puts a twist on it by handcuffing them together.
Yeah. That was a great scene when they're in the moor.
Yeah.
And he's pulling her along and she won't go. And I'm going to scream, I'm going to shoot you. Get moving. And what the? I didn't see that
but
coming.
That was really neat because, you've got these two people who really can't stand each other.
I like how she pulls her hand right out of the handcuffs in the inn.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a great scene. And then she believes him after, and she goes downstairs here, and then she believes him for the end.
Yeah.
And that scene, the music, and when he escapes a few times, when he's escaping, it's always good. The scene on the rocks was good.
Well, the scene where you're talking about with her taking her handcuffs out of, that reminded me of something else. It wasn't the same kind of thing, but the guy takes his handcuffs out and then he sees them. He says, well, why didn't you take your handcuffs out before? Well, it wouldn't have been funny then. So it's the same thing here. Not funny, but it wouldn't have made the scene.
Yeah.
So that reminded me of that. I can't remember which movie that was, but I've seen it and I've laughed. And then he puts it, oh, no, I do. It was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He says, well, why didn't you take the handcuffs out before? Well, it wouldn't have been funny then.
But in the scene when they meet Mr. Memory at the end, Mr. Memory goes... Does the whole formula.
Who is the
39 steps? And he won't answer because he's not supposed to. And he says it again, and everybody joins in. And Mr. Memory, because it's just habit, starts, oh, it's a secret organization, blah, blah, blah.
And then, and then he gets
shot.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, and then you think, that's the end of the movie. But it was short. It's like an hour 27.
Yeah, it's not a long movie.
But, early Hitchcock was short and to the point. Like, I don't think the movies really started to get longer in any real sense until the 50s.
Well, Gone with the Wind's what, 3 hours?
No, I'm talking about Hitchcock. Hitchcock's movies got later, it got longer as the 50s wore on.
Well, Rebecca, 1950s, too.
No, Rebecca was 30, no, Rebecca was 40.
40, that's 2 hours.
Yeah, Rebecca, then Suspicion. And then Avatar. But it's interesting, because this is still early, but this is Hitchcock in his British mode, working with British actors on a British set.
Mm-hmm. Although the lead actor's Canadian.
The character is a Canadian. There's the
he's
only way. But the actors are British. He's working on a British set. And then Saboteur is filmed with the U.S. studios. It's really interesting.
Well, I guess that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Do we have anything else to add?
Well,
actually, you do, but maybe you're waiting until next time.
What's that? Who?
Amy Adams.
Oh, right.
Well, we can leave that.
No. Hold on, yeah, this is a good time.
We can leave that till the
next
week.
No, we've got a few minutes. Me and Bob were having a discussion, a text discussion. Bob seems to claim that
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams is not as good an actress as
I didn't say she wasn't as good.
Let me finish my sentence.
But
sorry, Fred.
Amanda Seyfried.
Who's a better actress, though?
Oh, my God, Amy Adams. No question at all.
Okay, I never said she was a better actress. I just said she has, like...
Amanda Seyfried just has those giant blue eyes that just take up three quarters of her face.
Yes. I've seen them in person.
Kevin? Not big.
I know Amy Adams by far is a better actress.
Two-time Oscar nominee.
However,
she was great in Doubt, which was a straight.
That was a good one, yes. However, there's also been some bad ones.
She was amazing. What was the movie where she played the animated princess who escapes to the real world?
Enchanted.
Enchanted. Love that one. Yeah.
So what's Amanda Seyfried's big movie?
She was in Mamma Mia.
Yeah. Chloe.
I'm not holding Jennifer's Body. Should we discuss
she
that?
And she was also the lead in that masterpiece of Justin Timberlaking, In Time.
I've seen it.
There has been some bad Amy Adams movies, too.
Sunshine Cleaning, which I liked.
I liked it. Okay. Underdog. Shall we go over that one?
Listen, Amy Adams, the worst thing Amy Adams ever did was that episode of Smallville where she wore a fat suit.
Hold on. Smallville? Amy Adams episode of Smallville?
Very early episode. It was when they were still doing the Freak of the Week thing.
Bob, you didn't tell me that.
Oh, yes, she did.
She wears a fat suit. You wouldn't recognize her.
That's it. You got to watch Smallville. Oh, my God.
Which season?
I have no idea. I have seven or eight seasons.
It would be early.
Yeah, early. Like, it was when they were...
Bob. So, do we need to go further?
I never said either one of them was a better actress than the other. I just said...
Amanda Seyfried, like, to quote Jane Lynch on Glee, looks like a friggin' bush baby. She really does. She's like 3 pounds and two of them are eyes.
She's skinny.
She's a bush baby.
She's skinny.
It's actual term for a small creature with giant eyes.
A bush baby.
Yeah, nice. Like a little furry critter that runs around in Africa.
Nice. Well, until next time. By
then, National Geographic is an actual creature.
I look for those bush babies.
Did you say creature?
Creature.
Dobby doesn't like them.
That's it.
Yeah, Dobby likes Angry Birds.
If they make it.
Next week, I gotta get to Harry Potter on Friday.
So you got rid of all your Facebook games, and now you just play Angry Birds all the damn time?
If they make it.
Simon makes us watch it and review it.
We better like it or else. Bob gets really excited about it.
Very. Woo! Amy Adams rocks!